Welcome, sisters. It's a great joy and an honor for me to introduce to you Father Samuel Weber, although I don't think it's Father's a new face. Both last year and we've had his direction at our liturgy thus far this weekend. Father Samuel was appointed chaplain, fellow, and director of sacred music for the College of St. Thomas More on August 11th, 2011. Prior to this appointment, he was founder and first director of the Institute of Sacred Music for the Archdiocese of St. Louis and Magister Choir of the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis. In 1999, he was a founding member of the Wake Forest University Divinity School, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where he also held the position of Associate Professor of Early Christianity and Spiritual Formation. Father was on the faculty at St. Meinrad School of Theology and St. Meinrad College, St. Meinrad, Indiana, from 1976 to 1996. He holds a BA from St. Meinrad College, 1970, a Master of Divinity degree from St. Meinrad School of Theology, 1989, a Master's in Greek and Latin Literature and Ancient Art and Archaeology from the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he received the Licentiate in Sacred Theology from St. Anselmo in Rome in 1975. So I know you're going to enjoy Father's presentation. Welcome.
It's so good to be with you all today. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us pray. Direct, we beseech thee, O Lord, all our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, so that every prayer and work of ours may begin always from thee, and by thee likewise be happily ended. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of the Snows.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We may not have enough copies of things, so I'll have to ask you to share a little bit. I had to carry them in my backpack, so I can only bring 30 of each. But we've been privileged to hear Father Keating speaking to us, and isn't he wonderful? He gives a good, clear teaching. And our purpose now is to say, well, how can we carry this out in practice? What can sacred music look like when we do it the way the Church is asking us to do? So let me tell you the story of St. Margaret Parish in Oceanside, California. They asked me to come there this summer for about 6 weeks and to speak with them about the first Sunday of Advent and the new translation of the Roman Missal. The pastor has decided that the parish will do what the Church is asking them to do regarding the sacred liturgy. And you know that in the first place, we are always asked to sing the Mass. Sing the Mass. Don't sing unrelated materials at the Mass. So we don't, the first direction of the Church is that when Mass begins, we sing the entrance song, the introit. We don't sing some unrelated hymn that might not even be written by a Catholic believer, and so on and so forth. So he has decided that beginning on the first Sunday of Advent in St. Margaret's Parish, we will sing the Mass. And so I made for them for the season of Advent this little card. In the pew will be this card, and it will have on this one card everything that is needed to sing the Mass. You'll notice that each item is numbered, so people can know where they are. But the order of the card follows the order of the Mass. Not like a so-called hymnal, where nothing is related to the liturgical seasons or the Mass. And you ask someone, why did you sing that at the beginning of Mass today? And often the answer is, because it's pretty and I like it. No, we're not going to do this anymore. That's over now. Okay, so let's look at the communion. We'll start with number 19 through 23. So we're dealing with a large parish. There are perhaps 3,000 families in this parish. There are many young families with children. They're happy to welcome God's gift of children into their lives. They are a very singing parish. They sing very well. And they have a wonderful choir, organist and choir director. So they're in very, very good shape. They have just built a brand new church. I think they're in it 2 years, and the church has a perfect acoustic. It's a real joy. Even as the church here, you probably noticed what a joy it is to sing in that particular space. So now the question is, how to get them to sing the Mass? And they have full participation at all the Masses. The people sing very well. So on the first Sunday of Advent, during communion, the people, the cantor will begin, "Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Sing. "Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Very nice. See how easy it is. I've done this for 40 years now with parish groups and choir. Never failed once. Everybody can do this, and it's easy. Psalm 33, with its verse, "O taste and see," is the most ancient communion chant in the church. And it occurs in all the rites of all the apostolic churches. Now, the cantor and the choir will then handle the appointed verses of Psalm 33, which will include singing the communion antiphon as given in the Missal. So our goal here is sing the Mass. Don't sing unrelated things at the Mass. And the tone will sound like this. "I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Now, the same psalm tone setting also has a four-part SATB version. So, then the choir will break into the next stanza of the next verses in four-part harmony. And that will give some beautiful variety. And we're going to look at some of these harmonizations also for equal voices. But just to give you an idea. So that will be the first Sunday of Advent. Now, every Sunday of Advent, the same melodic pattern will be used. Why are we doing this? To make it easier for everybody to participate, especially during communion. You don't need to have a card or carry a card, because during Holy Communion, of course, it's appropriate to fold one's hands, and so on and so forth. But everybody can participate and sing. So the second Sunday of Advent, the communion verse has the phrase, "Jerusalem, rejoice in your God." Jerusalem, rejoice in your God. Jerusalem, rejoice in your God. And then the appointed verses of the communion will be sung in the same way by the cantor and the choir. So, when you do something like this 4 weeks in a row, you don't have to relearn everything brand new. The choir doesn't have to learn everything brand new. And we have to have some familiarity with what we're doing. We want the appropriate level of variety, and the words are changing, giving us the words of a liturgy. But there's also something familiar. The third Sunday, then, the communion verse is, "Be strong, fear not, our God will save us." Be strong, fear not, our God will save us. Be strong, fear not, our God will save us. And the verses will come from the Canticle of Isaiah and from Psalm 84. Also, if they wish, they can sing Psalm 33 every Sunday. Psalm 33 is always appropriate for communion. If they have time, they can learn the more proper verses. It'll all depend on how things go. By the way, do you know the Musica Sacra website? Musica Sacra. You can just Google Musica Sacra. And all of these things you will find on the Musica Sacra website. And you can print them out for yourselves. So I can't let you take these cards home because I have to use them for the next session. But you just go to the Musica Sacra. Now, this card isn't up there yet, but it will be up there. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, Emmanuel shall be his holy name. Emmanuel shall be his holy name. And of course, the other big day that everybody comes to church is December 8th. From you arose the Son of Righteousness. From you arose the Son of Righteousness. Well, what a beautiful verse to sing during communion. We are receiving into our very bodies Him about whom we are singing. And at the same time, we are praising the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, through her cooperation with grace, made possible the Incarnation. And, if possible, then the verses of the Magnificat are sung during the communion to go with this refrain. Let me stop now. Do you have any questions or comments of your own? We will do this periodically.
Father, as far as copyright, could you just comment on
that? Any copyright that belongs to me, when you print from the Musica Sacra website, you may go ahead and use that as long as you give the identification. If the copyright belongs to ISIL, then you must get permission from them. But there has to be at least 15 words before you write for permission. So nothing here has 15 words, so that wouldn't affect. Yeah. So, for example, if you want to reprint the Glory to God in the Highest in its entirety, then you have to contact ISIL for permission to do that, the new ISIL. But if it's less than 15 words, you don't have to worry about it.
And Father, you have things on the, this is St. Meinrad, or some of the copyrights St.
Right.
Meinrad, and then when you are at St. Louis.
No, all you have to put is the copyright of St. Meinrad, Archbishop, that's all rights reserved, and then stop. And then if you are using a lot of these things and you are able and willing to support the work I'm doing, then send a check. Yeah, but just think of the amount of money you pay buying these missalettes and all that stuff, which is not doing what the church is asking us to do at all. I won't go on. You understand. Anybody else? Yes, sister. All right, first of all, you should not be doing this. It is not your job. The pastor of the parish is the liturgist of the parish. The pastor should be doing this. And he should be explaining to anyone who needs to come to a deeper awareness of why he has commissioned you to do this. But it's not your job to convince anyone to do anything, okay? And all the documents are clear. Which particular document are you not clear about? Do you have something in mind? That having been said.
I was wondering if there was something you could point to that would be the place for what you just said.
There's everything to point to. Everything. Yeah, you sing the Mass. So when it talks about what we sing at Mass, the first thing we are to sing are the texts of the Mass themselves. In the fourth place, the bishops of any particular bishop's conference may authorize hymns or other materials that they have approved. In the United States of America, the bishops' conference has never approved anything in the past 50 years, 45 years. Nothing is approved. So what's being done by various groups who are selling materials, they're creating their own materials. Some of these materials are perhaps sensible and good. Others are not even related to the scriptures or anything that has to do with the Mass. One thing in particular, at St. Margaret's Parish, the pastor has forbidden the singing of all Protestant hymns. So that the words that are sung in the liturgy must be by Catholic and Orthodox believers. And there is a collection, it might come from GIA, it's called Intro at Hymns, something like that, where a poet has taken the intro it of the Mass. Everybody knows what the intro it is, the entrance antiphon of the Mass. I see on eyes some don't know what that is. the entrance antiphon and has paraphrased it into poetry so you can sing it with a metrical hymn tune. This was a good advance for the parish, but as I pointed out, they're using a symbol system. Remember how Father talked to us about the symbol, the sacramental, the symbol systems? They're using symbol systems of non-believers. They're using Protestant symbol systems. The Protestant hymn tune. Are these hymn tunes beautiful? They are very beautiful. Musically, they are aesthetically pleasing. I love many of them. Are they appropriate for the holy sacrifice of the Mass? In my opinion, they are not. Because they're written by non-believers. So if we really believe what the Church believes about the Mass, we're going to choose those things that are written by believers. Yes?
Father, as far as the psalmody to go in...
Yes. It'll be on the Musica Sacra website.
Okay.
And I'm going to pass that out to you next. Okay, yes?
I have a question. As far as the hymns go,
yes.
What do they have any place in the liturgy at all?
No, none, none.
So only psalms and those...
The appointed psalms and so on. Now, as soon as I say that, once the appropriate text of the Mass has been sung, and if there's time and you want to do something else, fine. As long as it's Catholic. So we don't need to be singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God and so on and so forth. So, for example, I suggested at St. Margaret's that they might, if, like, for example, on the third Sunday of Advent, they're going to sing the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. This is a Catholic hymn. It is a paraphrase of the O antiphons. Everybody understands that. And the intro, it is, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We'll look at the refrain. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So when the Mass begins, they're going to sing, O come, Emmanuel. And then when Father and the ministers arrive at the altar, the singing of this hymn will stop, and Father will begin the incensation of the altar, and the choir will then sing the introit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So the people have had a participation in the entrance rite. Now they will participate by their attentive listening. Remember, the Holy Father is constantly reminding us that the most important participation is the participation of the heart. It is an active listening. So we must appreciate the sacred silence. In our Mass this morning and in our Divine Office, we had intentional moments of sacred silence before Mass and after Mass. These are important and good things. We understand. Any other questions? On the second Sunday of Advent, they're going to use On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. This is a hymn taken from the Divine Office, from the French breviaries. The French, already in the 1600s, were abandoning the Roman liturgy and inventing their own missals and breviaries. And someone by the name of Coffin, C-O-F-F-I-N, wrote this hymn in Latin. On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry is an English translation of this hymn. And the second Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of John the Baptist, isn't it, in a special way? So they will use this hymn, perhaps at the offertory. So after the Schola sings the appointed offertory verse, then the congregation will sing this hymn.
So it's
not to take the place. In my opinion, not to take the place. But if the bishop's conference approves of materials, under certain circumstances, when you can't sing the Mass, the documents say you can sing those approved materials. But remember, nothing's been approved for the United States. But the entrance antiphons and the communions, and then the offertories that occur in the Grotto Alle Romanum, which may be sung in Latin or in English translation, are all approved. And that is the first preference. Good. Shall we move on? I don't want to move on if you have things you want to talk about. On the Immaculate Conception, they're going to use number 26, probably at the offertory. Immaculate Mary, thy praises we sing. Okay, good enough. So there's the communion. Let's look now at the introit. They are also going to be singing a cappella. They're not using any instruments during Advent, except on the third Sunday of Advent, when they will use the organ. But they're going to sing these chants without the organ. They have a beautiful acoustic. It works much better without accompaniment. Do we have any problem singing here? None whatsoever. Are we good? Yes, we are. That's right. We are good. So the bell rings for Mass to begin at number one. The introit for the first Sunday of Advent is Ad Te Levavi, To you I lift up my soul, Psalm 24. We're just going to take the first words for the congregation to sing. The cantor will sing from the microphone. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I have trusted. Everybody will repeat. To you I lift up my soul. In you I have trusted. And then the cantor will continue with the verses of Psalm 24, and the people will repeat the refrain. And again, when the celebrant reaches the altar and begins the incensation, the choir will sing the entire introit, either in Latin or in English. I will show you these in a moment. The second Sunday of Advent, the Lord will come to save the nations. The Lord will come to save the nations. Very good. Now, how do you implement this in a parish? We're saying the pastor has given correct teaching and correct direction. We're not arguing or convincing anyone. Everyone understands what it is their duty to do. Then how do you do it? What I would do, what I have done in the past, is I simply go to the microphone when the people are there. I don't explain a whole lot. I just say, this will be the intro, it repeat after me. And I have them repeat as you did. And they're always a little bit like church mice. I say, no, I want to hear your Viking voices. Please use your Viking voices. Let's try this again, please. And I was at a parish in Canada, St. Joseph's in Mississauga, near Toronto. And they brought me here to do the Mass, a cappella, the whole deal, just like we're doing it here. And it's a parish of at least probably 15 or 20 different ethnic backgrounds. You know, you have Chinese, Koreans, all kinds of people, Filipino, from all over the world in this parish, and how Canada is. And it was a beautiful thing to see. You better to do it in Latin with people from such background, but English is the common language that they wanted to use. So we did the refrain the first time, and I said, you know, down in the South where I come from, they say Canadians can't sing. Well, let's try that again. Whoa! They blew the roof off. That was really nice. I said, that's it. Keep that up. Now, of course, what I also do is I have the choir prepared and ready to go. So they had a choir of 40 voices, and the choir is not in a choir loft, but the choir is along the side. So they were right there to give all of this support. You have to kind of stack it and get it set up ahead of time so that it works. Now, if you're in a situation where people don't want this and they're working against you, there isn't much that you can do. So you have to figure, and we're not talking about that. We're saying that all the ducks are lined up in a row, okay? Let's go for the third Sunday of Advent. They could do this for the refrain. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. And so on. But I think we decided there at the parish, we're just going to sing the whole hymn at the entrance. So the bell will ring and we'll sing the hymn. And there'll be a big organ. And there will also be organ music for about 15 minutes before Mass on Gaudete Sunday. And there will be rose-colored roses on the altar. And the priest will wear rose vestments. These are important markers of our Catholic life and tradition. And children especially need to see these things and grow up with this happening. We are proud to be Catholics. We do not have to look like or behave like Protestants or anyone else. And we must raise our children in an atmosphere that is thick with Catholic life and culture. The difficulty for so many of them today, and it brings a tear to our eyes, is their parents are not as they should be. Often they're divorced. When I was chaplain at a high school, these kids would come to confession, Father, I miss Mass on Sunday. Why did you miss Mass on Sunday? I can't get to church and my parents won't take me. That is not a sin. That is not your fault. Do you have a friend you could go with? Or could you ride your bike to church? No, it's too far. All right, don't ride your bike then. Could a friend pick you up maybe? I'll ask my mom. But I mean, the kids begin to have guilt and suffering, and they'll cry. Some of them would cry in the confessional and say, I can only go to Mass on Friday when you have Mass here at school. All right, that's another issue. On the fourth Sunday, the intro is Rorate Caeli De Super. Drop down dew from above, you heavens. Now, we have to create these refrains for the congregation, not using too many large intervals, or too many decorations because they can't stay together. It has to be strong and direct. Drop down dew from above, you heavens. Drop down dew from above, you heavens. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Again. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mystery. Now watch the confiteor. You see where the confiteor is on your blue cards? I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. Let us pray forever and ever. Amen. So you see how the entire introductory rite is based on C, on the Do pattern. La 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 la, la 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 la. That's the Do pattern of cantillation. And you can do the entire entrance rite in this pattern as we just did. Was that difficult? It was not difficult. Was it noble, reverent, uplifting, sensible, good? It was. Everything was fine. And we're just drawing on the traditions of cantillations of the Roman Church. Very, very easy to do it in English. You can do it in any language. I'm writing many things in Spanish because people are asking for it. They're on the Musica Sacra website. And in the Philippines, is anybody here from the Philippines? What is the language? Tagalog. So I've just received a request to start doing things in this language. I just report. But the problem is you have to sit down with a native speaker and understand all the stresses and rhythms of the language. But it's a beautiful... You speak it? No, it's a beautiful language. It's like Italian. It's very musical. It's much easier just to sing than English. Okay. Let me stop again. Anybody? So here we're doing it all in chant notation. They like chant notation there. We could easily do this in modern notation. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But again, the chant notation is a marker of our Catholic culture. And Archbishop Dolan in New York has recently been using this phrase, and I stole it from him, about we need markers of our Catholic culture. As you know, the bishops of England and Wales have just taken a tremendous step to restore the Catholic culture by reinstituting the Friday observance of the universal abstinence from meat, connected with almsgiving, prayer, of course, always. And commenting on that, Archbishop Dolan said, maybe we need to be thinking about that in the United States. Maybe we need to be looking at our markers of our Catholic culture. Okay, good. let's look at the responsorial psalms are pretty much the same patterns. You notice the patterns are similar and the same because with a large congregation like this, there has to be a degree of similarity. We can't throw a lot of variety at them. Number six, Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Then the cantor will take the verses. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. So some eyes didn't catch that, and grant us is a step lower. We have to be very patient, flexible, and friendly about all these things, but then eventually everybody gets it. On the third Sunday of Advent, my soul rejoices in my God. My soul rejoices in my God. Fourth Sunday, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Now, since so much of this is new, we're going to use the Alleluia, Alleluia, because they can manage this very easily. I would keep this for Easter time. I wouldn't use it during Advent myself. The Alleluia for Advent is Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And in the gradual that I'm preparing, I'm using the same Alleluia melody for a season. So Advent, the first 4 weeks of Lent, will have their own same melody. You can't change it too often. But they thought that would be a little too hard for people there right now, so they're going to stay with this. Now, the pastor wants the creed to be sung, and he wants to begin singing it at some of the masses in English. He wants people to get used to the new translation, especially visible and invisible and consubstantial. These are very important doctrinal points. And so he said he just wants them to use this simple tone. And this is how they're going to do it. It may be a little boring to do the same tone that many times in a row, but it's like singing psalms in the divine office. It all depends how you think about it. You do the even numbers. We'll do a few of them. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages.
God from God, and light from light, true God from true God.
Now, one of the reasons he wants to do that, he says it's easier to sing a new translation than it is to speak it. So this is how he's going to go through it. That's what he wants to do. Now, they have Mass in both the ordinary form and the extraordinary form every Sunday, because this is what the Church is asking us to do. Very clear, the Holy Father has specifically asked that every parish church have at least one Mass in the classic use. And they've been doing this at St. Margaret ever since the Holy Father asked that. And there the congregation can sing the Creed in Latin very easily and the Gloria. At the other Mass, they have the Mass at 6 in the evening in the extraordinary form. And the 10:30 Mass is the big. They have two Masses on Sunday, one at 8 and one at 10:30. And they are both completely sung Masses with ceremony, with incense and everything. and they're very well done. And at these Masses, they usually sing the Kyrie, the Gloria in Latin. They usually do those in Latin anyhow. So there's no problem with the new translation. But he is going to do the Creed. And they have a Mass at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening, and that's in English without music at all. So some people like to come to that Mass, and it's simply a meditation Mass, the pastor calls it. Very nice. All right. They're going to do the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei in the very simple Latin tone. But let's look at 16, the acclamation in the new translation. The mystery of faith. We find you, Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Very nice, very nice. Any questions about this? One approach? There could be many approaches. This isn't the only one. Yes. I didn't say it should be sung. I never said that.
Okay. What did you say?
I don't know. I didn't say that. I don't believe that.
He said we should sing the Mass.
Well, I sing or speak the Mass, meaning don't, when it's time for the entrance, we should hear the intro it, the entrance psalm and the words of the entrance. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. No, because we obviously in the parish, we have a Mass with no music at all. But when we begin the entrance, we begin with the intro it. Not by singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" or something like that. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by it. Use the words of the Mass. Don't bring unrelated. No, I said sing because these things are usually sung. But I don't mean to imply that every Mass has to be entirely sung or anything like that. Oh, by no means. I think there is a place for a meditation Mass. And when I was a pastor, I made sure that every Sunday there was at least one Mass without music. I think that's important. But that too must be done worthily and devoutly, with, you know, not rushed or anything. But in general, I prefer that the parts of the Mass should be sung. That's a preference, but I wouldn't say should. Yeah.
Father, if you sing the Sanctus, is it obligatory to sing the Agnus Dei? Is there any obligatory?
No.
No,
not in the Novus Ordo.
You have a big...
Yeah, but yes, you have choices. Yeah, no, there's not. No, there's nothing to discuss. If somebody were to say that, they're wrong. That's all there is to it. There's no discussion. There's no have to. No, you can decide that. Now, in the ancient rite, in the classic rite, yes, there is the High Mass, and at the High Mass it must be sung, but not in the new liturgy, in the ordinary, what we call the ordinary form. Anything else? Sister Helper, would you collect these? And we will get on to the next part, which is to look at the gradual. We also want to do, what time is it? How much time do we have? We got to go fast, right? Would you help collect? I need other helpers, two other helpers to come up, please. Would you pass these out? Thank you, sister. Let me get one of these. There you go. All right, it's going to open like this. It's going to go like this when you get it. These are the pages of the new gradual. And the choir at St. Margaret's Parish will be drawing on this gradual for singing the introits and offertories and communions. And it is from these texts, this is the new text that will be in the new translation. All right, so here you see, here's how it works. You see the proper of time, the first Sunday of Advent, and then it says entrance antiphon, E-N-A is entrance antiphon. It's written in the eighth mode, and it will use the motifs of the Gregorian introit Ad Te Levavi. Number one is a very elaborate melismatic. Melismatic means with many notes, filled with honey, melismatic setting, if you prefer that. Then the verses for the cantors of the appointed psalm. Now, if you go up like this at number four, you will see another setting of the introit that is less complicated. To you I lift up my soul, oh my God, in you, I don't have a high voice, in you I have trusted, let me not be put to shame. so you get an idea. Let's come in. Nor let my enemies exalt over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. You come in at the asterisk. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me, and teach me your paths. No, you didn't come in at the asterisk. Now you come in at guide me. See the asterisk? Ready? Here we go. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Now at this point, you may repeat the antiphon, to you, or you may sing the glory be to the Father. You have choices. It depends how much time there is and so on. You don't have to sing the verses at all. You could just sing only the antiphon, depending on what you do at the entrance. Now, look at number 7. Let's say you want to sing the introit in your religious community or so on. I wouldn't expect a large congregation to be able to sing this kind of music. Not at all. This is choir music or for religious groups. Seminarians can do this. All right. To you I lift up my soul, O my God. Come in. In you I have trusted. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies exult over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. Then at the next point, you can go turn the page. You can go to number 10 if you're the cantor, and you can sing. You have to know which formula to use, and it's 8G. And it tells you above the antiphon which psalm formula you use. So it's 8G. And G will bring us back to the intonation. So, to you, O Lord, have I... Let's do number 2. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And then you can repeat the antiphon. To you, O Lord, I lift up. See how it goes? Everybody got it? Now, again, here are these short refrains. If you want shorter refrains, to you I lift up my soul. In you I have trusted. I wouldn't use that with a large parish community. That wouldn't work. But you might have another situation in your convent or something. Let's do it. To you I lift up my soul. In you I have trusted. Now, number 9 is the one that they're going to use at St. Margaret's. But notice it's 8C. Does everybody see 8C? C means it begins on Do, and the cantor has to use the formula that will take the people back to Do. So you see how there's two choices for the formula here? There's 8G and 8C. Now you have to use 8C, all right? To you I lift up my soul, in you I have trusted. Let's do your ways, O Lord, on 8C. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me, and teach me your paths. Make me know your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. See how we're right back to the note that we need? But it's this one. La, 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 sol, la, do. Sing that. La, sol, la, do. There it is. Now, on page 5 at number 11, begin the responsorial psalms. And there are two possibilities, 11 and 12, for each refrain. One through composed, more elaborate. One very simple for parish congregations. Number 11. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let's try it.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
And then the formula 7C, and it's given there, and the rest follows. Okay, you see how it works? So you can look through this, and you'll see offertories and communions and alleluias and everything that you need. And this is already posted on the Musica Sacra website. So there you go. Why don't you glance at that for a few seconds? Anybody questions? Yes.
Father, is it okay with you if we, let's say we know that if we have time, we can just take number 11 and stick it?
Yes. Yes.
And then they would just have.
Yes. That. Yes. Yes. But I can only give permission for the music. So if it's more than 15 words, then you have to check with ISIL and see what their policy is. Very good. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I do those myself because they're not translated in the Roman Missal. I make them myself. So they are my translations. That's like singing an unrelated hymn or something. You know, I mean, if you can sing that, you can sing my offertory. You know, you can sing Eagle's Wings or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right, they're not. But I make sure they, and the Psalms are also my translation.
Will they be in the Roman Missal?
No, no, no. They're not in the Latin typical edition. Yes. Collect these, please. Turn these in. Collect these, please.
Is the
website musicasacra.com or .org? I don't know. Just Google Musica Sacra. Yeah. All right. Now, one more thing. How much time do we have? Are we out of time?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. We can't do the glory of the angels. Too bad. I'll do it with the next group. I'll do it with the next group. Thanks a lot. Best wishes.
Thank you.